Shalom, everyone. This is the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles in Vayikra 23. We're going to be reading from the scriptures, and I'll be using the King James Version with the corrections that we have to go back to the Hebrew now and then. So, Vayikra, or Leviticus 23, verse 36. And we are all gathered here together, and we don't want to be leaving anytime soon. We have a whole day. This is a high day, a day that is set apart unto Yahuwah, and we are not to be cooking or eating or doing any servile work or driving for any great length. And that's all relative there, of course. I personally set for myself around 70 miles one way. If I have to make it to a synagogue somewhere, temple, or get-together, a convocation. So let's read this now. Leviticus 23, or Vayikra, sorry. Vayikra 23. And on the eighth day of the feast shall be a pure convocation unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. And, of course, Yahuwah sent his son to be our offering. You shall have an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah, and it is a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of Yahuwah, which you shall proclaim to be separated convocations. Vayikra 23, and we call that last great day. It certainly is, and Messiah referred to it in those terms. Here in John, let's go to Yochanan chapter 7, verse 37. Messiah is walking in Galilee and going to the Feast of Tabernacles. After these things, Yahusha walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in, quote, Jewry, I don't know how that got in there, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the, quote, Jews, Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Now everything is Jewish, even salvation is of the Jews. So now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. And now we're skipping from verse 5 to verse 37. In that last great day, that great day of the feast, Yahusha stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they had believe on him, which they that believe on him should receive. For the separated Spirit, or the Spirit of purity, was not yet given, because that Yahusha was not yet, quote, glorified. He's not yet ascended to the Father at that time. This is before he was impaled on the tree at Calvary. So somewhere around the year A.D. 31, possibly. And then in Yochanan chapter 12, verse 37, Yochanan 12, But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah, or Yeshayahu more properly in Hebrew, Yeshayahu the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Yahuwah, who hath believed our report, and to whom has the arm of Yahuwah been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because that Yeshayahu said again, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and that I would heal them. These things Yeshayahu said when he saw his splendor, and spake of him, the Messiah. And you'll want to finish to verse 50 on your own study. So you want to read John chapter 12, all the way from 42 to 50. Then let's go back to Matityahu chapter 11, 25. And Yehoshua answered, Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Yehoshua answered and said in his prayer, I thank thee, O Father, Yahweh of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Father to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you shalom. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's also a scripture that goes with that in Yeshayahu that says, and they would not enter into his rest. Or it could have been one of the minor prophets like Zechariah, I'm not sure. But anyway, you could look that up. And that was Matityahu, rather, chapter 11. 2 Peter chapter 3 now, and Kefa, second section of Kefa chapter 3. On this day, the last great day, when we are rejoicing and feasting and enjoying all the fruits, all the wonderful things that Yahweh has provided through his wonderful servants and cooks and food preparers that did all this. Hopefully they did it all yesterday. All we got to do is warm it up. And the feasting that comes from the pulpit here too, by your servant. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So the day of Yahweh is when that will happen. The heavens will pass away with a great noise, and there will be the all-new heavens, the new heavens and the new earth that we speak of there in Yeshayahu chapter 66. For as the new heavens and the new earth will remain before me, saith Yahweh, so all flesh shall come to worship me in all the new moons and the Sabbath days. That was Yeshayahu chapter 66, verse 22. Back to 2 Kefa 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of people ought we to be in all separated conversation and Yahweh likeness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of Elohim, where the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So we need to be very careful and do the assessment, ascertain whether or not we are walking with Yahweh and keeping his word, if we're lining up with his word, if we're allowing his Ruach HaKodesh, his spirit, to quicken us, and then we will walk in newness of life, with our goal being to be in New Jerusalem with Yahweh someday, very, very soon. We'll put away all carnality as much as possible. We live in a world, though, but we're going to put away carnality even in our music. No more heathen Christian music, and no more high intensity, high volume lights and the music and all. We're going to put that away in our assemblies really soon. And that's the devil's last stronghold, is when the sound engineer has taken over, even in messianic assemblies, to play this heathen Christian rock. So out with that. And because Yahweh says, what kind of people will we be? What sort of persons should we be in all separated conversation, or in all manners of things that we do, or as the Tree of Life version put it here, if the word will come to me, what kind of actions, I guess it was, or don't be in the wrong act. That still wasn't it, but it had something to do with our actions. I know that's what it was. 1 Timothy chapter 2, as we go back to Timothy now, and Paul said what we should do, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life with that shalom, that Shabbat shalom, not only in the high days, that we may lead quiet and peaceable life in all Yahweh-likeness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of Yahweh. Elohim our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Now, that's not universal salvation. He would have us to be saved. That doesn't mean that we all will be saved. But he would have us all to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. For there is one Elohim and one mediator between Elohim and man, the man Messiah, Yahusha. There is only one mediator between between the Father and men, and it's not the Queen Virgin of the Stars. Miriam told the followers of Messiah to do whatever he tells you to do. There you are. So, hi there. So in chapter 5 of Yochanan, chapter 5 in the Gospels there, the Evangels, 5:25, seeing that Miriam, the mother at that time of Messiah, told everybody to do whatever he tells you to do. And that Miriam herself also said that she rejoiced in her son, my Savior. She called him my Savior, that he is our mediator. Okay, now that's all cleared up, and I solved that whole problem. Churches everywhere now will line right up with the scripture. Yochanan 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, the Father, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, shall not be condemned, but is passed from life unto death. Hallelujah, Hava. Verse 25, and here I say, praise unto Yahweh, or Hallel Yahweh. So, 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Elohim, and they that hear shall live. 26, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So they will be resurrected, but unto damnation, into Tartarus, into hell. Revelation chapter 20 now, but we move way ahead now in the ball game here in the last great day. Yes, it's the last inning for us as we think about that period of time after the thousand-year millennium, or at least in the latter part of the millennium, the thousand-year millennium. Let's say about the 900th year that this feast symbolizes and points forward or foreshadows that period of time at the end of the thousand-year millennium. It's called the Last Great Day. Messiah titled it that in John 5, and then we have our other witnesses as well. Revelation 20, the rest of the dead lived not again until the thousand years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and separated is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of Elohim and of Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When the 1,000 years are expired, Hasatan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up unto the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from Elohim out of heaven, and devoured them. So, devoured who? That's the Hasatan that says here in verse 7. Or on the Day of Atonement, we talked about Hasatan, who was represented by the Azazel goat, by the escape goat, back in Vayikra chapter 16. So we will continue. Sorry about that parenthetical interruption there. And Revelation chapter 20, verse 9, and they went up to the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from Yahweh, or Elohim, out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented night and day forever and ever. And whether or not Any other ones who are fallen will join him there. We don't know that for sure. So where the scripture is silent, we'll be silent. Where the scripture is clear, we need to be clear. And that applies to everything else as well. Even the calendar and the reckoning of the new moon. When is the new moon? Well, it doesn't tell us in the scripture. Where the scripture is silent, we need to be silent. But we have our own theories about it. So, here we go with Revelation. Boy, that was quite a rabbit trail there. Revelation 20:11 now. And John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Elohim. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. Praise Yahuwah. Certainly thank him for bringing us to this point where our names are written in the book of life in heaven, and that this event is going to happen in the future. Could happen really, really soon. In fact, because we're coming to the end of the 6,000th year of man's reign on the earth, into the 7,000th rest year. Of course, the Jewish reckoning is different. I think they're counting from Moses, though, so that's why that's different there by a couple of hundred years. Matthew chapter 12 now, where Messiah is speaking, and this great passage now, as we lift up the Messiah, Yahushua, the Son of Yahweh. And we need to be filled with the separated spirit. We need to show that we're walking in the spirit, not by the works of the flesh, not listening to carnal music in church, not in synagogue, maybe not even at home. You can listen to secular music, but that's another subject. I'll tell you about that, having been a broadcaster and all that. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scatters abroad. Verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. Of course, if they repent, not just carte blanche there. All sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the separated spirit, against the Ruach HaKadosh, shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the separated spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. The separated spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh. So whosoever speaks against the separated spirit, it will not be forgiven him, even in the world to come. Verse 33, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of evil treasure bring forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be made right, or justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That was in Matthew chapter 12, all the way to 37. And you could read, we will read. Certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But Messiah answered and said unto them, or he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 nights and 3 days in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. So that would be the equivalent of in the Passover time, after the equinox and the new moon there. It would be on the 14th of Aviv. It was the night that Messiah was impaled thousands of years ago. and the 14th, and then 3 nights and 3 days later would be the 17th. That's how that's all explained there, just as simply as that. 14th to 17th, just simple math. Simple arithmetic, teacher. The Son of Man will be 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth, and that he was 14th to the 17th. Then he said, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. In Genesis 3:15, you talk about the curse. Well, there's the curse of the law. There's the blessing of the law. But this is where mankind had this curse because of the disobedience of one, of the first Adam. So 3:14. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And, of course, Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden, as they rebelled, and Adam listened to his wife, and then blamed it on someone else. So we need to be accountable for our own actions, good and bad. Praise Yah. Let's be accountable, though, not always saying that don't say that I'm innocent of everything and everybody else is guilty. And the reason I'm so bad is because they are the ones who are at fault. Don't say that. That's not humility. We need to come before Yahweh and admit our faults. And yes, for making ourselves humble in front of Yahweh, we need to confess this, that Yahweh, we were sinners. We were known as those who make a practice of breaking your laws, your Torah. But now we are a people who seek to obey. We don't always obey. We don't always keep the instructions of life, the decrees given by your Son unto Moses, unto us, unto all Israel. But we are attempting to be perfect, as it says there in Matthew 5:48. Become perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So that's where we're at right now, is we're growing in Yahweh. And he is making in us a new creature. Romans 11:1, I say then, has Elohim, verse 1 it is, I say then, has Elohim cast away his people, as he cast away the Jews, as he cast away Israel? Elohim forbid, for also am I an Israelite, out of the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin, or Benjamin, and that was Paul speaking. He is an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. Elohim has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture said of Elijah, how he makes intercession to Elohim against Israel, saying, Yahovah, they have killed thy prophets and dug down thy altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. This is Elijah speaking. But what saith the answer of Elohim unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. There's only 7,000 in each generation, perhaps, that could be perceived to mean there. Romans 11. 7,000 men who have not bowed the image of Baal. Then Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 37, and you could read it all. You could read it all there. I really like hard copy a lot better than this pseudo screen stuff up in the off the wall words and music overhead. I just don't care for it. I think we ought to all bring our scriptures to it. And or smartphones to read the scriptures. The hand of Yahweh was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass round about them, And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry bones. That is. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O Yahweh Elohim, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon the bones, and say unto them, O dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring upon flesh on you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus say Yahweh Elohim, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they live, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army, an exceeding great bunch. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So those are the scattered, the dispersed diaspora. And we want these, see these two, we don't do it, but we want to see Yahweh bring the two sticks, Israel, the north and the south, together again. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, Behold, O my people, I'll open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am Yahweh when I have opened your graves, O my people, and when I have brought you up out of your graves. And I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, Yahweh, have spoken it and performed it, saith Yahweh. We also know that in several places in prophecy, such as Ezekiel 36:26, that Yahweh said he would breathe his spirit upon us, and in our minds and our hearts he would write his covenant and his Torah right in our heart and mind. He also said that in Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10. So, Revelation then, as long as we're going to the New Testament to talk about this for a long time, this is a period of time symbolized before the millennium, before the thousand-year millennium. So briefly we'll do that, and then move on into it. Revelation 20, verse 4. Verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahusha, Messiah, for the word of Elohim, and which had not worshipped the beast. Verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yahweh. The books were open, another book open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, or death and Sheol, that is the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. Death and Sheol were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now don't just give up. Don't be despondent, but have hope in Yahweh. You say, well, I'm at my worst. I don't think he's going to... Why would he care about me? No. Let's go to Matthew 13 next. There is that about the sheep and the goats and the wheat and the tares and the those who walk in the flesh and those who walk in the spirit. Yes, we do have to evaluate ourselves, and you know, when we stumble and fall, if we fall back into sin, into temptation. We don't all do it that much or into the same sins, but we all have certain little impurities and imperfections of transgressing the law of Yahweh. And So Yahweh gives us his righteousness, not pseudo-righteousness, but he covers us even though we might not make the mark. We may not hit the mark correctly that we are reaching for Yahweh for perfection, but we haven't attained that yet. Some have, of course. According to them, they have. But so don't worry, please. If you're one of those, just trust in the Messiah. Say, Yahweh, I can't do it. I've tried over and over. I keep stumbling. And now I feel so doggone bad that I just want to walk out and I give up. But no, we don't want you to do that, sir or ma'am. Please, or son or daughter, don't give up. Oh, there's so much encouragement here from the scriptures. And Revelation 21. And but before that, just briefly, could we go to the wheat and the chairs? That's in the next chapter of Matthew. We were reading 12. So let's, you don't need to turn there if you don't want to, but go right ahead. Matthew 13:37. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his messengers, and they'll gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. In other words, those who constantly offend and who constantly break Yahweh's laws. And they shall cast them into the and that they never repent, you know. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So it's not a good place to be, the furnace of fire with the wailing and gnashing going on there. Some people try to tell me, well, that's only gnashing for a moment. But Scripture doesn't say that. Then the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. There's that expression there that we also found in Daniel and in Revelation. Who has ears to hear to this, whether it be the Laodicean or the Philadelphia assembly, let us hear. Whether you be from Thyatira or Pergamos or, you know, Laodicea, let's wake up to salvation. Okay, then verse 44. Wait a minute, why did I go back to 17? Okay, verse 17 then. I think this is. It's all on the screen, so. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. And then, okay, finish up there at 44. The kingdom of heaven, again, is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hides, and for joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Yes, as verse 17 said, many prophets and righteous have desired to see those things and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and they didn't hear them, but now you are hearing the word, the exciting, I could use that word, exciting word of Yahweh. It is, well, compared to the dullness that you get out there in the culture, in the Babylonian world. That's what I call it. Out in the world is, you know, sometimes in the church, they even get the Babylonian effect in there. Okay, then up to Revelation 21 in verse 1 here. I know you're all probably from all this camping a little bit tired out there. Maybe didn't get enough sleep or something, but well, we'll do our best, okay? We can only do our best and let Yahweh do the rest. We can only be thankful just for what we've got. We don't have a whole lot. Maybe just a little hut or something to live in. Maybe just living in a hut, you know. But they say in Oregon that at least the wine and the cheese are still good. So to me, I don't know, having that and a chair in the sunset is just a chair in the sunset in the mountain is all I need. Until then, until Yahweh comes. So this has been even better than the sunset and the chair and the whatever kind of drink it might have been. What sort of refreshment there? Praise Yah for that. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, Yochanan, saw the separated city, New Jerusalem. In the New Jerusalem now. Not the one we have with the kosher McDonald's, but New Jerusalem coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of Elohim is with men, and he will tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and Elohim himself shall be with them, and he will be their Elohim. I don't know. I use the word Elohim there instead of G-O-D. Some people use Adonai, but we know that it speaks to the Father, and sometimes I even substitute the Father's name in there, Yahuwah. Himself shall be with them and be Yahuwah to them. And Elohim, in verse 4, shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. And you can read the rest there. Now I'm going to skip to 27. And there shall be in no wise, and there shall no wise, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life today. Now, we deserve to wear those righteous robes because Yahusha has given us his righteousness, not our own man-made or human-made righteousness. Chapter 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Oh, I saw a beautiful river today that was clear all the way to the bottom. And it just reminded me of this pure river of the water of life. It was green, emerald green. It was just out of town here. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no more be a curse, but the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. You could read more in Revelation 22 there, or maybe we'll just kind of finish up at the end of this last great day. Yeah, that would be very appropriate. So Revelation 22 there. Please, we'll finish up with that. But first of all, I have some numbers out of the book of Bamidbar for you, and 29. So this is the epilogue of the last great day. But don't forget to read the end of that chapter we're reading there, Revelation 22. In case I forget or something. But here's about the feast now. In 28 and 29 of Bamidbar. And some could say, well, why didn't you read that at the beginning of all this? Right. Well, verse 4. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even, and a tenth part of an ephah of flour for a meat offering. Verse 6. A continual burnt offering for a sweet savor. And verse 7, the drink offering shall be the fourth part of a hin, or a gallon, for the one lamb. In the Mikodesh, or pure place, shalt thou cause the strong wine, that's an intoxicating liquid actually, if you break that out there. It's fermented, it's Hebrew word number 3196, but don't go out and ever get drunk. That's a transgression of the law. But that you would cause the strong wine to be poured unto Yahweh for a drink offering. See, they didn't drink it. Then verse 8, the other lamb shall thou offer at even, and the meat offering, and so on. Verse 9, on the Sabbath day, two lambs of the first year without spot, and 2/10 deals of flour with a meat offering mingled with oil, and the drink offering. 10, this is the burnt offering of every Sabbath beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering, and in the new moons, or in the beginnings of your months that are very important, you shall offer a burnt offering unto Yahweh, 2 young bullocks, 1 ram, 7 lambs of the first year without spot. Now, Yahweh is our offering now. He is our slaughter offering because he was offered on the tree at Calvary. He is our not only our substitutionary atonement, but we don't have to bring these animals and goats and so on into the Mikdash any longer. As you read farther, you read about the other feasts, the rest of the feasts there that were at the beginning of the year, meaning Pesach, Shavuot, or Pentecost, and then the daily offerings too in verse 24. Now, chapter 29, in the seventh month, that's the seventh scriptural month, not the common one, not the Roman Catholic, but the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a pure convocation. You shall do no servile work. So there's three parts to this commandment. So convocation means the gathering together. You shall do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets unto you. And then blowing of the trumpets. Verse 7, now you shall have on the tenth day of the seventh month a convocation. You'll afflict your souls and you shall not do any work therein. That's the day of Yom Kippurim. Then, and the offerings there, verse 11, a kid of the goats for a sin offering, beside the sin offering of atonement. Verse 12, and on the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a pure convocation. You shall do no servile work, and you shall keep a feast unto Yahweh for 7 days, just as we have done these past 7 days. So each of the days there told about the offerings and how important each day was to Yahweh, in very particular ways that Yahweh has instructed us, or at least instructed Moses back when the tabernacle was standing and they were able to make these offerings. Verse 35, on the eighth day you shall have a solemn assembly. So that is today, the last great day. A solemn assembly, praise unto Yahweh. This is a divine decree, for lack of a better word, or sublime decree that Yahweh, earlier I had the word, but anyway, we have been called in by Yahweh himself to keep this feast day. Not only by our leaders telling us where we're coming up to and what day we're going to keep it on and all that, but by Yahweh himself. Has beckoned us, maybe that was the word. We've been beckoned to the table to feast with Yahweh. The eighth day, it's a solemn assembly, no servile work, but you shall offer a burnt offering of sacrifice made by fire, of a sweet savor unto Yahweh, a bullock, one ram, 7 lambs of the first year without blemish. The meat offering and their drink offerings for the bullock, for the ram and the lambs shall be according to the number after the manner, and 1 goat for a sin offering, beside the continual burnt offering and his meat offering and his drink offering, these things you shall do unto Yahweh in your set feasts, beside your vows and your freewill offerings for your burnt offerings. Here's for your vow, your burnt offerings, and for your meat offerings, and for your drink offerings, and for your peace offerings. And Moshe told the children of Israel according to all that Yahweh commanded Moshe. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter, or one of the resurrection chapters, I should say. And then verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Messiah is not risen. And if Messiah is not risen, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Messiah are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Messiah, Paul thought we'd be most miserable of men, but now Messiah is risen from the dead. Now Messiah is risen from the dead. This is written, I forget, like 30 years after Messiah rose. Messiah is not risen, your faith is in vain. You'd have a vain faith without the Messiah. Even today, people want to put away the thought of the New Testament and Messiah. And I can't figure out why, because then they'll have no Savior, even though he was prophesied so profoundly, so deeply, that is, in the older scriptures. You know, if in this life only we have hope in Messiah. And 20, but now Messiah is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. The last enemy that should be destroyed is death. Then if you would read there and then come down, read especially verse 37. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may be chance of wheat or of some other grain. But Yahweh gives it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. So that's important there. And then verse 51. Paul wrote, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now just don't wait around and say, well, I'm not going to do anything, because he'll do all the changing for me then. I'm not going to be changed now, period. Don't say that. That's a spirit of rebellion. That means your heart is not right. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. At the last, it should say trumpet there. The last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Changed into what? We'll be changed into the image of Yahweh, the likeness of him. Praise Yah. And get back our, we'll get beautified bodies, restored bodies, would be a better word for it. Yeshayahu 65 now, the wolf and the lamb. You know that old chapter there, and we're about 50 minutes we've been here in the service. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Oh, so I was wrong. I said it was chapter 66. It's not. It's 65. In Yeshayahu 65, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be ye glad, and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem rejoicing, and her people joyful. Or it says, her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem. They'll rejoice in us, and enjoy my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And I'm not going to explain that. They shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. This is prophetic. The one and the same prophet, son of Amos, wrote this by the inspiration of the Ruach HaKadosh. So verse 65, 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my separated mountains, saith Yahuwah. And wouldn't it just be wonderful to pet a lion? I did that. It was just a few weeks ago. We went down to a West Coast game safari place in Oregon, and I held some other of those wild animals. Pet a bear. So the wolf and the lamb will feed together someday, and I think they'll be friendly, hopefully. Revelation chapter 2, in this last great day. Revelation chapter 2, and also please read chapter 3, and chapter 16. Okay, Revelation 2, 1, to Ephesus, unto the messenger of the assembly of Ephesus, write these things, he said, that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And he said, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how you canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, or emissaries, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Have we done that? Probably many times. May Yahweh forgive us. Oh, actually, now I found the date for Corinthians 68 BCE, if I am correct. Somebody would say, even if I'm not correct. Let's see. 68 BCE. No, that's not BCE. That's AD. That's, oh, I see how they're using that. Okay. Anyway, after we go to Revelation, then we shall finish and go back to our tents, pick up everything, and then tomorrow head home. Have a great and wonderful rest of your future until Yahweh comes back. And I just want to thank you so much for allowing me to come in and be part of this great, wonderful time of the last great day, the Feast of Tabernacles as well, with you each and every day. And then we read part of that. He showed me a pure river of water, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of Yahweh and of the Lamb. And the tree of life was in the midst of it there. And we're going to see his face in verse 4. And his name shall be on our foreheads. 5, there shall be no night there. They don't need a candle. You can't even hold a candle to him, can you? Neither light of the sun, for the Yahweh Elohim. It says Lord God there, so please change that. Lord doesn't belong there. That's from a corrupt source. Yahweh Elohim given them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And Yahweh Elohim of the pure prophets, or separated prophets, or Kodesh in Hebrew, sent his messenger to show unto his servants the things which must surely be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, Yochanan, saw those things and heard them. When I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the messenger, or angel, which showed me these things. And he said unto me, see thou, don't do that, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. But worship Elohim, or worship Yahweh. Verse 10, the last chapter of the Scriptures. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Don't you love that name, that word, prophecy? Yes. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him, or let them, be righteous still. And he that is separated, let him be separated still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Aleph and Tav, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, or in Greek, that would be Omega. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For outside are dogs and sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loveth and makes a lie. So what are those categories? Sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and those that love and make the lie. And then Messiah speaks here in verse 16. I, Messiah, have sent my messenger to testify unto you these things in the assemblies. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. See also Numbers 24:17. Numbers, or Bamidbar 24:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. See Yeshayahu 55:1. For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, Yahweh shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall, or take away any of the words of Scripture, Yahweh, because we know that elsewhere, in Deuteronomy 12:32, that's Devarim 12:32, and also Revelation 3:5. If any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the pure city. So they shouldn't be speaking against some things in the Scripture here, like the Sabbath. that it was done away with and replaced with another Sunday, a venerable day of the sun god. Even though in that faith, in the Sunday religion, there are some which could give us a good example and have very, very good other teachings other than on the Sabbath. Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the pure city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testify these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Or Amen, rather. Or Hallel Yahweh. Even so come Yahusha Messiah. The unmerited favor of our Yahusha Messiah. Messiah be with you all. Hallel Yahweh. It's written by John in 96. John the Revelator in 96 A.D. Remember from Isaiah or Yeshayahu 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Let us observe Yahweh's principles, prescriptions, precepts, his Torah, and as Moses wrote, Moses wrote you this precept, yes, Mark 10:5, but also finally I wanted to say in Malachi, the last thing that was said in the Old Testament to wind up with that statement, Malachi 4:4, remember the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, the statutes and judgments. So for everyone, for all Israel, the statutes and judgments. See Galatians 6:16 as well. And we're to keep all the feast days of Yahweh. See you at the next feast day. We're also going to be keeping some of the minor feasts that are not commanded in Scripture, like Hanukkah. And we found that that's a real blessing, that it shows that we are delivered from the bondage of those that are over us right now, and that they were delivered as well. That's a great testimony if we keep that feast of Hanukkah that occurs near the end of the pagan year. So remember the law of Moses, my servant, the law of Moses, so-called law of Moses, or the Torah. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with utter destruction.